Well, good morning. Welcome back to All Villages. It's such a great opportunity to think about 2020 and giving a good kick, right? Just kind of shoving that out of here. 2020 has just worn most of us down, has caused us to be restless, even distracted, because, man, some of us just don't like being by ourselves. And the challenges that we have faced this last year, it's nothing to joke about, but it's one of those things that my prayer has been, Lord, help us just to have a great new year. No matter what we face, let us trust in you. And so it's been my prayer. But before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together, to worship you, to celebrate who you are. We look forward to the time of communion, your means of grace to help us live in relationship with you. We ask that you would bless this time, bless my words. May they be your words. Help me to speak as they were the words of your Son. We ask that you take this, bless it, use it for your glory. In your name, amen. We're on a journey. Okay, all of us are on a journey. I believe, coming from a Christian understanding, that God's the one who's in charge, that he's the one who has called us into this journey and says, okay, let's go, follow me. And he invites us to be a part of what he's doing. Many times, we're not sure where he's taking us, what part of the road. Sometimes the road is smooth. Sometimes the road is straight. Sometimes we don't want to get off the road. It's a good day. Other times, we can't wait. In fact, we're going, Lord, you take us down the wrong turn. And so I just want to give you kind of a metaphor today that we're going to see in the text, in the scriptures here in just a minute. But it's something that to help you and me really be the people that God's called us to be. And I'm hoping and praying that this will be something that will kind of definitely makes sense, but not just today. At least I pray for the next several months, and really it will serve you well for the rest of your life. But see how this kind of plays out. And I hope it connects. I hope it makes sense. And we're going to look at what each bucket is here in just a second. So imagine these buckets represent the things that happen to you in life. So you have something happen to you. You got to determine which bucket do you place it in. Is it something that you, like bucket one, is something that you actually have control over? Your best response is taking action. Maybe if you will, using the phrase leading, not being afraid, but leaning into what God has for you. And maybe again, could be in your business. It could be in your relationships. Sometimes I have in my life things that have happened in relationship wise. I didn't take. Put it in bucket one. I put it in bucket two, which we're going to see in just a second. But it's something that you and I need to take responsibility and respond well. Every one of these buckets, there's a best response and there's a not best response. And so we're going to focus on the best responses. But you and I need to know what to do with what has happened, what God has allowed through the providence of His work, through His grace, His wisdom, His providence, that if it's gone through His hands and is in our lives, then we trust that He's going to use it for good. He's going to partner with us and help us to use it to transform us, to renew us, to help us to be, again, people that reflect His light and His love. So bucket one, things we can control. A best response, again, is acting on it. So seeing a light that comes up on my dashboard and says, hey, you need to, check the tire pressure. That, I have control over that right now. I'm going to go take charge. I'm going to go, check it out, test it out. Okay, do I have anything in my tire? Nope, just okay, good, and move on. The challenge is sometimes we have bucket two comes along. Bucket two represents those things we have no control over. Our best response really is trust. Now, there are some things, like I don't have control over that light coming on, okay? But I do have control, again, of which bucket do I place this in and stuff, of how to then respond, right? So I don't just go, whoa, man, I hope the tire's okay. That's not the best bucket for that. The best bucket, again, is bucket one. If that tire light comes on, I need to go get it checked out. You and I have situations in our lives. Sometimes we get so frustrated with something, and the reality is it's a bucket two thing, and we have no control over it. Could be who you voted for. You have no control. Could be something else in your life, finances. It could be something, you know, stock market, something like that. COVID. There's a huge bucket two. Now, we can do stuff on our end, right? But that's bucket two. Again, it's things you don't really have control over. But our best response is to trust God. And what does that look like in everyday life? And that's a question I'd like you to hold on to and really ask yourself this week, especially. What does it mean to trust God today, this week, this year? What would it look like for me to fully be open, be at peace, and to know that God has my best interest at heart? Is Christ my hope? Okay, bucket three. Bucket three is that the things that happen in our lives that we really don't have control over, but we're not totally helpless either. Our best response is to influence with wisdom. That we need, what's the wise choice in this current context, in the current situation? Considering my past situation, my past behavior, my current situation, my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise choice? It's probably one of the best questions you can ask yourself. It helps you really kind of get through all the things that can muddy up your decision-making quickly by just asking, what's the wise choice here? And so when things are in bucket three, how do you then respond? What do you, you know, how do you use that wisdom to then influence the situation? So relationships a lot of times is bucket three. You don't control another person you have a relationship with, right? They don't control you, and yet you're not helpless either. Like, you influence that person. They influence you. You got to pray for wisdom. You got to figure out what's the best way. How do we move forward? Where do I need to, I don't know, maybe forgive, maybe serve them better, serve them well in the name of Jesus? And how do you do that in every area of your life? How can you just figure out which bucket that the situation is? Someone cuts you off in life. It ain't bucket one. Let's just get real. Okay, that's not what it's all about. Bucket two, you're not totally helpless, but yet you really don't control how that person drives. You can respond and maybe not trust, and you can respond in negative ways. You know, if the person's, you know, a detriment to maybe themselves or other people, then you might need to get in bucket three and maybe reach out to, you know, the authorities or something. But bucket one, two, and three is something that we have to process and work through. Here's why. Because you and I are working to grow. God's working to grow us up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to be the people that God's imagined us becoming. And you and I have to understand that he so desires this for us. Sometimes we don't know God is here. We had a talk this whole last month before Christmas about how God is here, no matter what we feel, no matter what our circumstances, that he proves that through Jesus in the manger. He proves that through how he still works with us even to this day, lives with us and walks with us, gives us his spirit. So our prayer is that for you this day and always is that you would be growing more and more into what God imagines you, that one day you will grow your roots deep down and you would just flourish, that everywhere in your life and your faith, that people would know that there's a work of God being done. Now, maybe they don't use that phrase, but they know, there's something there. Like, what's going on? There's something that person has a peace. They have a joy, a love. They seem to be gentle and kind. And it's not just about being a good person. It's so much more than that. It's the fruit of that. You'll see that. But when our hope is in Jesus and the roots grow down deep, it allows us to truly grow and to be the person God again imagines us to become. Well, this Sunday is actually the week that we look at of the Magi, those that visited Jesus after he was born. And so we're going to be looking in the text in Matthew, but the Magi were wise or learned men that came from the East, and they followed this star. They were understood to be like astrologers or astronomers. They kind of at that time went hand in hand, but they noticed strange events happening in the heavens. And they were being drawn to that. It even led them to believe that there was a new king coming, and they didn't want to miss it. And so We're going to get into Matthew chapter 2. That's the first gospel of the New Testament. And so the first account of Jesus' life, in other words. And we're going to read into Matthew 2 and look at what this new day looks like. A new day for you, a new day for me. And again, imagine again, keep in the back of your mind those buckets and how these buckets are going to kind of pop up here, because it's just important for you and I to really lean in to what God has for us. We can't control everything. Trust. We can control things, and we need to act and lead. Those things we can't, we're not really in control of, but yet again, not struggling when it comes to owning it. It's about influencing it with wisdom. Okay, so let's jump into the text again. Matthew, just a little kind of side note in the back of your mind too, is that in Matthew, the beginning here is he's not trying to answer any like cosmic questions or curiosity. He's not offering a cozy picture book story we have created a lot of times when it comes to what this magi was. Sorry to burst your bubble. It doesn't say anything about three magi or three even kings. They just were wise, learned men. Now, they probably were well off. They probably were wealthy because they could afford to do this, okay? And they were able to do this. But it's about a child and how this child being born in such a strange way, and yet other nations, other peoples, in other words, were being drawn to this Jesus even before he did a thing. And I think that's just a great foreshadowing that Jesus is going to be doing throughout the rest of his mission of helping the whole world come to know him and experience him. So let's jump into the text, okay? Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, okay? There's a real place, a real time, okay? A real person. This isn't just made up. This is the real deal here, right? This happened. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, ready? Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? So for some reason, they're already thinking that there's something going on in the skies has told them there's a new king, and it's a king for the Jews. They weren't Jewish. Okay, so we know that this is different. This is something unexpected. Now, we've already had in chapter 1 of Matthew, if you want to check it out, there's several unexpected things already popping up. And so we shouldn't be surprised God is doing some new things in this new movement, again, that began in him. So we saw his star. This is the Magi sharing. We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Huh, bucket one. They acted on what they saw. They acted on what they could control. They stopped what they were doing where they lived. They gathered together some things, and they took on this journey. They acted on it. They led that way. Moving on. When King Herod, by the way, King Herod is not the nicest of men. He's actually a brutal dictator. Think of several options in the 20th century, and you'll come up pretty close. You know, examples of horrible leadership. King Herod his whole family is going to have an impact on Jesus' life coming down the pipe. But King Herod, because of this, is going to respond in fear and respond in a way that all of Jerusalem is scared because of what he would do. Sometimes, in fact, we have, according to history, that when he died, he made sure that a whole bunch of people were going to be imprisoned right when he was sick. And when he died, he ordered that was his last order, that they'd all be killed, to be certain that all of Jerusalem would be in mourning. This was the kind of leader he was. He was a horrible man. King Herod heard this, and he was disturbed. And again, and all Jerusalem with him. If he's disturbed, it might mean people die. If he's disturbed, it might mean this is not, this is changing the whole game here. See, what's going on here isn't just a nice story about a silent night. Okay, love the song, but not what we're reading in the text. Matthew is kind of throwing in this political dynamite. I mean, he's lighting it and going, whoop, you know, anyone would have read this would have been like, whoa, he's saying Jesus is the true king. And King Herod is no king at all. He's the imposter. He's the one that is the false one. And so you have already this kind of breadcrumbs laying out saying, ooh, this is not good. Okay, so King Herod is disturbed. He calls some people, says, hey, you know, what do they say about this, what they're talking about? Is there anything in the scriptures that kind of hint towards it, right? And this is what they quote. It's Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem, and this is again from the Old Testament. This is, we're going to get to that in a second, kind of where it comes from. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And that's just a one little sliver of it, but it's this beautiful picture. And there's several of them in the Old Testament, part one, I like to say. But there's several of these threads that lay out this picture of Jesus being the one true king, the ruler that was promised to help be God's hands and feet, to be the one that he was going to use to restore the whole world to himself. And so it's playing out in a way that no one foresaw. They hinted towards it. Again, they had promises in the Old Testament. This one again, Micah 5:2, but about this kingship for the whole world is what I just want to kind of focus in on. That it's not just this king for the Jews, even though he is the king of the Jews, and that's what, you know, that description comes out, and that's why the Magi come. But this Magi that's there, this king, they're looking for the king of the Jews. It's not limited to the Jews. And we know this because of several other texts. Psalm 72, check it out. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, check it out. But in these scriptures and many more, you have this painting of God's justice and peace over and promise for the whole world, not just for the Jews. And so it's something that they're holding on to. They're trying to figure out, is this the one? You know, where is this one? And so Herod's going to even, you know, try to attack later on, but I jump ahead. Back to the text. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He didn't want anyone else to know that he was worried. He didn't want to give any credit to their story. He could have just all, oh, don't worry about these people. They're just, you know, whatever. You know, they're doing their thing. No, he doesn't want anyone else to know. So he calls him over and says, hey, so exactly when was this? And so he's trying to get with the people that are reading the Torah from chapter, you know, from the part one, and trying to make sense of this with what they're saying, these magi, these wise, you know, learned men from the East. How is this all working together? Can they figure out where this child is, right, kind of thing? So just kind of fun facts. There's been a lot of research on this. It's not something that has any definitive answer, just to be clear. But this star, they believe, kind of one of the theories I kind of lean towards is that Jupiter, known as the king's planet, and Saturn, thought to represent actually the Jews, were in conjunction at that time. And it became that bright, shining star for what they understood it to be. Now, we just have had this last couple weeks, we've had this conjunction of these of planets coming together and seeing this just big, bright light, big circles in the sky. Now, if it's been a clear night, you've been able to see it, great. But it's something like that where it just was so like, whoa, grabbing their attention. So again, got a lot of divinity kind of thing, but especially royalty is being understood here. Okay, so the Jupiter being the king's planet already again, and again the Saturn that represented the Jews. Moving on. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. Right? So he's like, you worship, then send me for me. I'm going to come and worship. But based on what we know about King Herod, again, first of all, again, he wasn't even a king. He was a king builder. He was a great builder. So kind of thing. So moving on. Okay. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped. It's kind of crazy, right? Like, wait, what's going on? Now, it looks like it stops. Again, remember when these planets or stars or different things are moving out and stuff, you know, in the universe, in the sky, when they see it, sometimes it looks like it stopped. Of course, it doesn't stop. But from our perspective, it looked like it does. And so it's kind of one of those things. Over the place, so it stopped over the place where the child was, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. His bucket too. And the fact that they couldn't control where the star was going, what was going on, how it was going to go, what were they going to do. They were hoping it was going to stop at some point. At what part, time is this journey over? All these things going on, and they just were trusting. They were just hoping. And so there's nothing wrong with hope or trust, but what are you hoping and trusting in? I'll let you know that there's going to be times I let people down. And it's not that we shouldn't hope or trust people, but our ultimate hope has got to be in Jesus. It's in the one who holds all of it together. The same God who created the universe, who put skin on, became a baby, and now sends his spirit, rules now. And he reigns, and it's about us being overjoyed that we have found the Christ child, this baby. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts brought by the Magi were the sort that in the ancient Near East were brought to kings, even gods. And so this was something of, again, royalty. This was a foreshadowing even of some things of him being the journey he was going to take to the cross. But for our point here and our focus here, these gifts they were given everything, something so special, something so precious to the one they thought was the new king. And they thought again that the skies had shown it. I think it was God drawing people there so they could meet this child and know that this was never going to be the same again. The text goes on, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Now, this would be bucket three, okay? They weren't totally out of control. They weren't totally helpless, right? They were trying to take this new information. They were warned, and they said, you know what? I think we need to go a different route. That's bucket three at its best. And I hope that connects for you. I hope that helps you. I hope that the rest of your days, especially these next 2021, you and I will consider when something happens. Okay, bucket one, I can lead, I can act on it. Bucket two, I have to turn it over to the Lord, trust the Lord, see what he's going to do with this. Or bucket three, try to, seek the wisdom to how to lead, how to move forward, how to influence the situation. Now, as you and I talk about this journey, as I share with you about my hope for you and this journey, I want to ask you, what gifts are you bringing to our Lord? Jesus is the greatest gift that God has given us, and he comes to us through his means of his grace, and through a moment we're going to share in communion. But I want you to think about again for you, where are you needing to come to him? Well, by whatever route, please come to him. My final word for you is this, and this comes from years of working with people that have struggled with addictions. This is something that AA groups pray every time they gather together. All over the world today, there will be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people gathering, praying this serenity prayer. And the serenity prayer is beautiful in that, written by a gentleman named Reinhold Niebuhr, and this gentleman has written some amazing theological texts and good stuff for anyone to read and dialogue and really wrestle with. But this prayer, I think, is so powerful. And let me just kind of give it to you. Ready? It's simple. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I hope that you'll seek out that prayer and understanding where God has led you and what situations you're experiencing. What bucket is it in? Where do you need to just trust God with it? Bucket two. Where do you need to act and really lead and make decisions? And then where do you just need to ask God for that wisdom, that insight of how to influence, how to lead forward? Now, don't forget, there's some homework. If you haven't been with us, we begin our new reading, our reading again with the Immersed Bible here. And so I hope and pray if you don't have one, you'll reach out to us. Let us know. We'd love to get it to you. We drop them off around town. People like let us know. Sometimes people stop by the church. Sometimes people ask for it, and we mail it to them in different states or even countries. So if you don't have one and you like one, if you don't have a Bible that you just love reading, then I would love for you to check this out, okay? Please, please, please consider doing that. We're going to start next week. And so your homework is to read Luke chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, Luke 1 through 4. It's a great time to start your microgroups or your triads up again. And if you've been participating in that since we launched them a few months ago, thrilled about that. But if you haven't joined one yet or you're not sure next steps, let us know. You can always reach out to us. Contact the church again for more information or go to our website and check out that learning tab. And then you'll be able to see all about microgroups, how to what they are, how to do them. They're really easy. They really are, you know, kind of three steps kind of thing. Anyone can do it. Just takes some time, okay? And not a lot of time. But we hope that encourages you. Hope you'll get a chance to do that. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. We hope to see you next week. And again, Happy New Year's.